Welcome to the Jennings Wire online magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman, and I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today, we have a very special guest from over on the other side of the pond, Lynn Serafin, a certified award-winning coach, teacher, marketer, social media expert, radio host, speaker, and author of the number one bestseller, The Seven Graces of Marketing, as well as Tweepalicious, 158 Twitter tips and strategies for writers, social entrepreneurs, and change makers who want to market their business ethically. And today we'll be talking about just that, those Twitter tips and strategies for business owners out there. Welcome, Lynn.
Stacey, that's great. I'm really pleased to be on the call today.
I know we were talking beforehand about Twitter and how a lot of business owners, even individuals who are out there, don't necessarily realize how powerful Twitter can be, and they kind of are confused by it all. So What would you say to those people out there, the social entrepreneurs, the business owners, people that want to really do business online and leverage that social media network ethically? What would you say to them first off?
Well, I think the first thing is for people to really get it in really solidly in their brains that Twitter is a new paradigm marketing form, meaning that it's not advertising. And if you use it to advertise or spam, well, spam, will, that's a whole other issue. But if you use it for straight ahead advertising and you tell people, you know, my book's out or, you know, my whatever's out and buy this or buy that, you'll get nowhere. You'll really get frustrated and you'll quit and then you'll say it doesn't work. And that's really because you didn't understand that it is not an old system marketing form. It is a new form. And so the way it works, the way it operates is completely different.
Would you say that that's the number one major biggest mistake that people make on Twitter?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that there's several core mistakes. Some of them have to do with not being clear and transparent in your bio so that people know how to follow you or know what you're about. That's one thing that a lot of new people on Twitter do. They don't bother to put a bio that helps me understand what they actually do as a business and what they stand for and what practical things they actually do in their business. That I think is very key. But yes, I think overarching at a meta level, the biggest mistake is that people think it's about selling. And it's not. The purpose of Twitter, and I say this quite frequently, the purpose of Twitter is to drive people to your content. And that doesn't mean driving them to a sales page. It means driving them to your content. And that's why it's a new paradigm form of marketing. And since you prefaced this podcast by saying this is about bloggers, this is absolutely what this has to do with. This is about using blogging in combination with Twitter to really create a brand identity, an individual identity, a product identity, whatever identity you're forging. It's about creating that identity through delivering fantastic content through blogging or video blogging or podcasting for that fact, and using Twitter as a means of piquing the interest of the audience to go check out the content. It is not about advertising. That's the core difference between Twitter and maybe mainstream advertising. And the people who quit don't get that. And they don't understand that when they make a tweet that is trying to sell something, or even just says something like, "Hi, thanks for following. Connect with me on Facebook." It's like, so what? You know, and that's the thing in Tweepalicious, for instance, one of the tips, one of the 158 tips is always ask, "Yeah, so what?" before you send out a tweet. Because if you can say that at the end of your tweet, it means other people can too. And your tweet should have something in it that cases of, yeah, so what tweets are, yeah, follow me on Facebook, so what, yeah, check out my book on Amazon, yeah, so what, Yeah, I'm going to be on the radio. Yeah, so what? Unless you tell me the so what in the tweet, I'll never click the link. I'll never check it out. That's not how it works. Nobody cares. There's too much data coming at us all the time. We need to know very quickly. It's called microblogging for a reason. You have to have content in the tweet that gives people food for thought. Now, that's a real challenge to be concise in 140 characters. I actually aim for about 120 max with the link. Mm-hmm. So really the tweets themselves are usually 100 characters or so, sometimes less, because people, they're going by at such a fast rate. You need to be able to grab people's attention in a compelling way, in a curiosity-inducing way, and not give them complex ideas. These are headlines and one-shot thoughts. These are single thoughts. And if somebody sees a single thought that arouses their curiosity, they'll check it out. You know, that's, and I do that with all my blog posts. For every blog post I make, I create, an average of about, I create an average of about one tweet for every 80 to 100 words of blog post. So if I've got a 1500 word blog post, which I tend to write longer blog posts than a lot of people, I will get, about 15, 20 tweets out of that. Because I'm extracting salient information from that and then delivering that to people on Twitter. And that brings people to my website.
And Lynn, I know that Twitter lists are a big unknown and maybe even a little confusing to people. I know for me, I look at that and say, how do I even use these? How do I interact and how do I leverage them myself, but also leverage other people's lists? So can you explain to the listeners a little bit more about how you do that?
Yeah, and, you know, it's a big topic, so I would refer people to the fact that I have a whole chapter in the book, Tweetbalicious, that talks about them, because you're absolutely right. It's a really important subject. Basically, there are three things that lists can help you with. One is it helps you organize your people, so you can kind of find people in certain categories. You might put lists of authors, a list of people who are in a certain geographic location, or people who are in certain occupations, things like that. And you can also make private lists if you want to just keep track of certain people on your own. And I always keep one private list of people I want to kind of watch. It's good for you to organize in that way. The other thing is that you can then you can then look at other people's lists to find potential leads, people who are in a certain area of business or that are in certain categories or even a geographic location, as I said, who may be people that you want to connect with. So it's a great way to find potential leads. And then the other thing it can help you do is that you can utilize lists to create streams on, usually the programs that I would use would be either Hootsuite or TweetDeck, both of which have a free version. Well, TweetDeck is free anyway. And you can stream that list in a column so you can just keep track of a conversation of different people tweeting on certain who are in certain occupations or in certain areas. So that way you can build relationships with them, comment with them, to them and recommend them, retweet them, things like that. And it also kind of diminishes the data overload of having to look at everybody's tweets all the time. So you're just looking at specific people in a specific case. So tweets are extremely useful. And that's why I wrote a whole chapter about them.
Well, and Lynn, you know, that makes a lot of sense, because if you are building your Twitter community, you may have, thousands upon thousands of followers, and it makes a lot of sense to be able to organize them in that manner. Now, if you just want to quickly leave us and leave our listeners with maybe one or two tips on how they might be able to monetize their work in Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is that don't try to sell on Twitter, or if you do, do it very sparingly. I mean, some people use it for affiliate marketing and things like that, but if you do that kind of thing, do it really sparingly. What's a much better strategy is to drive people to your content, as I mentioned at the top of this interview. And on that page, that's when you can have links to things you may have for sale, whether it's a book or a course or things like that. But always give them what you promised in your tweet. And that will develop trust. And the more people trust you, the more they're going to want to buy from you, they want to stay connected with you. But I mean, there is a chapter on monetizing in Twitter, and one would be, like I said, one would be driving marketing campaigns for product launches and things through that. But then again, it's about driving them to content about those launches. I also sometimes I'll tweet things about a shop, an online shop, different products. But really, if you're out and out selling, it shouldn't constitute more than about 5% of your total tweets. Your tweets really should be about giving people great content.
Well, Lynn, you've been very, very helpful for our listeners. And there are so many questions in this new, as you say, paradigm of marketing and reaching out and connecting and engaging that we use. It's called Twitter. So everyone can learn much, much more about how to leverage and monetize from Lynn Serafin. You can learn more about her, her services, and her books, including Tweetbalicious, 158 Twitter Tips and Strategies for Writers, Social Entrepreneurs, and Changemakers Who Want to Market Their Business Ethically. You can do so at Lynn's website, which is the7graceofmarketing.com. So thanks, Lynn, so much for a fun interview.
Oh, thank you, Stacey. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I'd just like to remind our listeners that this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR, the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine, a diverse community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers that share helpful and perhaps even life-changing posts and podcasts. So please enjoy more on JenningsWire.com and discover the bloggers that could be perfect for you. Till next time.